Lily's purple plastic purse is such a great example of all of the steps of repentance and repair. She made it to the other side of that bridge from mistake and shame to reconnection and healing. She transformed herself and her relationship with her teacher. I think the repentance process is so beautifully demonstrated in that story when she became again her best self after falling down the slide into her worst self. Her generous heart, her loving and learning mind, she returned to right relationship and to peace within herself. And while Lily and the author of that story used only secular language, there was no religious underpinning in the story, I have to admit that I get all jazzed up thinking about how to translate that for a faith community, even though this particular faith community might be a little more comfortable with the secular language. I'm going to confess something else to you all, which you may already know. I love religious language. I really do. I love words like grace and mercy, which is what Mr. Slinger showed. Faith, I even love the word God. I'm just going to own it that I love thinking about what it means when we say things like sin. I love talking about it. I love talking about atonement and repentance. I still love the feel of whisper-thin Bible pages and Jesus' words printed in red, even though I know it's very unlikely those are direct quotes from the source. Even though I know the Bible was not directly dictated by some divine being, even though, ultimately, I know it was put together by some old men on a weekend retreat somewhere, fueled at least in part by a desire to control the populace. I can know all of that and still get goosebumps when I hear verses from a sacred religious script. When Rabbi Daniel Ruttenberg quotes the Talmud as saying, "Great is repentance, for it brings healing to the world." Great is repentance, for it brings healing to the world. My whole body resonates with the conviction that that is a true statement. And then, ultimately, I don't care where it came from or who said it. I could hear another statement from the Talmud and have absolutely no reaction, or know with the same conviction that there is no truth there for me. It is no wonder to me that people either double down on their religion or they give it up entirely. Because it is hard to be discerning. It's exhausting to sift through conflicting information. It makes me weary and a little weepy sometimes to know that absolute truth is either incredibly rare and elusive, or it doesn't exist at all. It's freeing and it's heartbreaking to know that my journey to a sense of greater self-awareness, a greater effectiveness in the world, health and joy in all my relationships will never be done, and that any of us that are committed to the work of raising consciousness just have to keep going. We just have to keep doing the best we can, knowing we will actually never get there. And there's no doubt that the process of repentance is part of it, confessing the places that we fall short, naming and owning the harm, starting to change, accepting the consequences. All of that, Rabbi Danya says, before you even utter the words, "I'm sorry." And then you have to make different choices from then on out, or it's not complete. When we engage fully in all of that, something changes in us, I think. And we can feel ourselves coming back into alignment. Have you had that experience? We just watched Lily go through it. We return to some wholeness. There's something in me, I'm not trying to convince you, I promise, but there's something in me that when I use these big religious words to describe it, I can see and feel how necessary and how sacred the work is. This end result of the repentance process, Rabbi Danya says, is what's called atonement, but atonement often gets confused with forgiveness. But forgiveness is something people give to other people. Atonement, she says, is a singular theological concept that means what happens in connection with the divine. However you want to think about it, it's that thing that happens with the source of your being, with the love that you hold, maybe with your own conscience, if that's more comfortable with you. You can have the real conversation in atonement around what needs to be done, how you need to grow, and where you need to go from here. When we think about how we never really get there, that moment of connection with the divine or with the source of our being is the moment where we know we're met exactly where we are. There's a wonderful Jewish allegory that Rabbi Dania shares about this, the end result of the process of repentance. And the story is this: a ruler had a child who had gone astray, was lost on a journey of 100 days. All the child's friends kept saying, "Return to your parent." And the child said, "I can't. I just can't. It's too far and I'm too tired." And so the ruler sent a message to the child saying, "Just return as far as you can and I'll come the rest of the way to you. Return and I will return to you." The work of repentance, of atonement, is the work of coming home, home to ourselves, home to wholeness, home to integrity and connection. The only way out is through, but we'll never make it all the way. So we must trust that if we do the best we can for as long and as far as we can, we'll be met on that path by something that matters most. The work is hard, and the work is worthy. I knew this service was going to go long, so in the interest of time, I'm going to send you this service via the UUBB so you can read it slowly and at your leisure. In the meantime, I'm going to tell you two things. The first is a story from the On Repentance and Repair book by Rabbi Dania Ruttenberg that illustrates how complicated we sometimes make the work of saying I'm sorry, of moving back into wholeness, the way our ego and our small self gets in the way. It's my favorite story of a simple all-in-one process that happens in a single beat and a sentence. During the Black Lives Matter protests of the summer of 2020, the journalist Dorothy Tucker, who is Black, was speaking to a protester in Chicago who was also Black. Tucker, as one viewer put it, asked a question, and the protester immediately rejected the framing of that question and then spoke at length about why the framing of the question was problematic. This viewer was watching and held her breath, wondering how Tucker, the journalist, would respond with what could have been seen as a public chastisement. The reporter took a beat and then said, "Okay, thank you. I accept that education. Okay, thank you. I accept that education." Now, while this may not hit every last one of the steps in repentance, it does fit in with the framework. Publicly acknowledging the validity of that protester's objection with one clean, elegant sentence, all the while modeling grace and professionalism. If only we could all stay out of our egos long enough to do that more often. Thank you. I accept that education. The framework, the last thing I'll say, is that the framework we use for healing, for restoration, for wholeness in this church is our covenant. We've been talking about it a lot. We're going to talk about it a lot more. Here are the things we agree to in our covenant at UUCB. We agree to practice love, respect, and compassion for everyone. We agree to listen open-heartedly. We agree to address conflict directly with kindness and curiosity, and we agree to acknowledge our own mistakes and practice forgiveness. Throughout the rest of this year and forever going forward, we're going to talk more about, pay more attention to the places where maybe we've fallen short as a community, how we distinguish the difference between individual behavior and institutional culture, all of these questions that drive us mad and make us better, all at the same time. I close this morning with a quote from Rabbi Dania. Swallowing your pride and facing again and again the harm you've caused through carelessness or ignorance, through problematic beliefs, from acting from places of pain and trauma and brokenness, through thinking it'll be okay, through thinking nobody will find out, through desperation, through opportunism, through all the reasons that cause us to harm one another, even if we didn't mean to, even if we didn't know better, even if we were just being lazy or afraid. Whatever our intentions, doing the work to cross the bridge to healing and see for real the impact we have, how we might need to change and grow, what we might need to offer of ourselves, it can be hard, it can be different, there is no one right way to do it, but we know that it can be done. The only way out is through. Our closing hymn is a wonderful reminder of what we already know. We're not the first people to be on this messy and difficult path, and we won't be the last. We are part of a long line of mistake-making, good-hearted, eager pilgrims getting lost, going forward as far as they can toward the home that will meet us when we falter.